More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shoulder to shoulder, shields high. Welcome to the Buck Sexton Show.
Team, welcome to the Freedom Hut Monday, October 31st, Halloween edition of the program. We've got Supreme Court arguments this morning heard on affirmative action in college admissions. I listened to over an hour and a half, I think it was, of this. I'll break down for you how I think affirmative action is about to be declared unconstitutional in the context of college admissions, which it absolutely should be. We'll discuss that. Plus, over the weekend, the Democrats are desperate to make the election that is coming up something about Republican violence, and they're tying Paul Pelosi's assault to this. Because they have no real arguments, and so they're trying to smear the entire Republican Party with something that has absolutely nothing to do with the Republicans, their arguments, or their party. Plus, Elon takes over Twitter, and the libs are crying. Oh, they're so upset. They're crying. It's so sad. But I think there's something bigger afoot here. We may find out that there is smoking gun evidence of collusion between government officials and the big tech Democrat apparatus to throw the 2020 election. So we're going to be discussing all this in a second. But my friends, first and foremost, I got to make sure that you are absolutely squared away with your financial future. And what are you going to do? I mean, where are you going to put your money these days? Look at the stock market. Things are rough. All these problems out there. Your 401k has gotten totally battered recently, right? I mean, this is what's going on. But have you ever thought about being a real estate investor? Check out my friends at Done For You Real Estate. Done For You Real Estate takes you from me, where I was, a total novice who knew nothing about real estate investment, all the way to being somebody who owns real estate as an investor and can even build out slowly over time a real portfolio of real estate investments. We're talking single family homes here in stable, growing neighborhoods that can bring you free cash flow and also let you build substantial equity in these homes over time. It's great. Done For You Real Estate will take you through every step of the process. What area, what house you should look at. They'll help you get a mortgage, get that loan in place. Then they'll put a management company in touch with you at every step. This stuff is complicated. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of stuff that if you don't know what you're doing, it can be overwhelming. Done For You Real Estate just takes you through all of it. They are your guide to real estate investing the smart way. Go to doneforyoubuck.com to see how this works. I'm in a Done For You client. So are my two brothers. Doneforyoubuck.com. Again, that is doneforyoubuck.com to become a real estate investor with Done For You Real Estate. So I listened to the Supreme Court arguments this morning having to do with University of North Carolina and this group, Students for Fair Admission at Harvard. Here's there's a lot of arguments around affirmative action that you'll hear, and a lot of stuff that people will say. I can break it down for you in a pretty simple way, I think, because for one thing, the American people, this is one of those policies that you will never find a poll that shows majority support for affirmative action, because affirmative action is racial preferences for people based upon skin color. In the admissions process to college, also obviously exists in the process of hiring, too. That's different from or separate from this case specifically, although the principle is the same. And the argument in favor of continuing to use affirmative action as a important indicator in college admissions is essentially this. And I listened to the oral arguments before the Supreme Court today, so I'm pretty up to speed on what the latest is here. Diversity is good. We can't define diversity, but we know it's really important. And when there's not enough diversity, people who are part of diversity feel like they're being left out or marginalized. But we don't look at numbers to determine whether we've reached enough diversity, because that would be quotas. But in order to achieve diversity, we have to be able to factor it in. But it doesn't factor into it that much, only a little bit. But somehow we keep achieving the same number of Black and Latino and Native American students at elite institutions year in and year out without ever taking into account what the actual number is, even though... You notice how it doesn't even, the whole argument is just smoke and mirrors. It's nonsense. It doesn't hold up. They are discriminating on the basis of race, full stop. And they're saying, oh, we don't discriminate that much. It's just a little bit. It's a little bit here, a little bit there. No, it's wrong. It's really straightforward. Affirmative action is a form of racism. That's where we are. And what's really brought this to the forefront is that there are so many Asian American students who are actively being discriminated against in the college admissions process. And they even said in the oral arguments, you know, this is about the future generation of leadership. This is about the spoils system that has been created here, and that the universities are pipelines to high paying jobs, to social and even political prominence. You know, you go to Harvard so that you've gone to Harvard. So it's essentially a benefit to have been a student there. UNC, also not quite as much as Harvard, but similar idea. And so this is a benefit that must be conferred to people based on the concept of equity and not the concept of equality of opportunity, or that we are all trying to compete through a meritocracy. And I'm just telling you the arguments, the two areas where there was just a total collapse of the lib argument. Not a lot of conservatives talking about this. I think it's a mistake. I think that this is somewhere that you should see a lot more focus from conservatives. But the areas where this whole thing fell apart in the oral arguments, and why I think you're going to see a 6-3 decision striking down affirmative action in college applications this June. We're not going to know for a while, because Alito was asking them, asking the side in support of this, of continuing to use affirmative action, if you aren't using numbers, basically, how can you know you're actually achieving diversity? So if you're not paying attention to what percentage of Black students are we going to have in the class, what percentage of Native American, what percentage of Hispanic, white, Asian, etc., how can you know you're achieving diversity? Now this is, in essence, it's not a trap as in it's dishonest, but this traps the other side. It puts them in a position where they have to say, well, yeah, basically what we're doing is using stealth quotas. So we know we need to up the yield a little bit of this group or that group. So then we're going to have a greater emphasis in the holistic admissions process for people of one skin color over another, so that we can achieve our diversity outcomes. Really interesting, too. They also will argue, just so you know, that even population-based representation would not be sufficient diversity necessarily. Now, so quotas are too strong of a racial preference system, they say. But they want to achieve a number, but they tell you they can't actually, they don't actually look at the numbers. Because if they were paying attention to the numbers, then you would just be doing a stealth quota. You see what I mean? They're essentially telling, well, let's say that Harvard University is, and I don't know the number offhand, but let's say it's something like 7% Black students or 5% Black students. Year in and year out, Harvard achieves that number. Well, you say, why? If they're achieving that number without any major influence being given to black students in the application process, as in if you're black, you're going to have a huge advantage to get in, then, and if they're not paying attention to what the actual numbers are, the actual, then why do we need the program in the first place? What are they fighting against? If it's not an important determinant of whether somebody gets into school or not, which is really what the libs say, oh, it's one of a holistic, it's a, there's a mosaic of different reasons. If it's not powerful, then what, why do you even need it? It's clearly powerful. They're lying. This is all built on deceptions. And they clearly look at the numbers because they're hitting the same numbers more or less year in and year out. And when you look at the numbers when it comes to SATs, when you look at the numbers of who's admitted with what kind of scores, what kind of metrics, it's not a one factor among many. It is a massive factor. If you are a black student, a Native American student, or a Latino student applying to Harvard or UNC with, let's say, you know, an SAT in the 1100 range, you are 4 or 5 times as likely, depending on which group, to get in as somebody who is white or Asian. That's what the data actually shows. Again, roughly speaking, numbers along those lines. That's an enormous advantage. Enormous advantage. And they say, oh, no, it's just part of a holistic process. They're lying. So that's one part of it. So it falls apart because they're doing stealth quotas and they're pretending they're not doing stealth quotas, because quotas, everyone agrees, that's a violation of the Equal Protection Clause, the 14th Amendment. There's a constitutional issue there. Okay. But then there was another part of this, too, where they started to ask questions like, so a student who applies from Afghanistan, who is from Afghanistan and maybe fled war there, his family are refugees now in this country, he just checks the box that says Asian. So that student is to be treated for admissions purposes, and whether or not he gets or she gets a benefit is treated like a student who is, you know, third generation Korean American with one parent who's a doctor and another parent who's like a small business owner and who went to an elite private or, you know, parochial school or whatever. That student, they're checking the same box? How does that make any sense? What are Arab Americans supposed to? They're white for the purposes of this? They're not Hispanic. They're not black. And also the other place. So what are the categorizations that we're using here? They seem very arbitrary, and they are very arbitrary. But another part where this all comes apart, and one of the justices, I forget which one was asking this argument. I think it might have been Gorsuch, but I can't remember offhand, was saying, what qualifies you as being enough of something to claim something for the purposes of college admissions? If you have one grand, Meghan Markle, for example, has one grandparent who is black, and we often hear Meghan Markle talked about as a woman of color, right? I believe that Meghan Markle has one grandparent who is black. I might have her lineage wrong, but I believe that's. So when you apply to Harvard, if you have a grandparent of four who is black, are you considered black for the purposes of admission to Harvard? The Supreme Court asks the question, okay, what if you have a great-grandparent? What if you have a great-great-grandparent? And what if you just, and they say, well, we let people self-identify. But do they really? If I check the box, if I'm applying to Harvard and I check the box that says I'm Native American and I have no proof of this, of nothing whatsoever, and I get in, Harvard is going to be furious with me when they find out what's going on, right? People would say, well, look at Elizabeth Warren. Yeah, exactly. She perpetrated a fraud, and Harvard looked really stupid because of it. Because she fraudulently, Elizabeth Warren gamed this very system that these people going before the Supreme Court today, these libs, these lifestyle libs, who think that this makes them good people. They're like on the front lines of some new civil rights struggle because they're defending affirmative action. They do all of this, and you say to yourself, well, hold on a second. If you can just claim it and then you get a benefit from it, why shouldn't anyone just claim it? What quality controls are in place for these kinds of measures? They had no answer. They have no answers for any of this, by the way. The whole thing falls apart. I mean, it was such a weak, and it all just turns into this circuitous, oh, but there's a history of oppression and diversity is good and diversity makes things better. And we need to make up for oppression and we need more diversity. So we're going to make more diversity to make up for the oppression. Hold on a second. Do we have equal protection of the laws in this country or not? Is it illegal to discriminate against people on the basis of race or not? See, one of the problems, they also talked about how there was a 25-year sunset provision in Grutter v. Bollinger that Sandra Day O'Connor mentioned that within 25 years, which is basically now, but within 25 years, we won't need this anymore. And that this was dangerous stuff to be creating racial preferences in our society. I mean, the whole thing is so flimsy. It's wrong. It's wrong. And the arguments are incredibly weak in favor of this stuff. But it was interesting to hear it today. Affirmative action, which the libs have made a huge part, you know, diversity and inclusion, all this stuff they talk about, rests on a foundation of nothing. Just the emotional needs of libs to feel good about themselves. And honestly, the advantages that people like to have advantages. There are people who are privileged minorities in this scheme, in this framework of college admissions. They don't want to give that up. I mean, Sotomayor on the Supreme Court has said she's a product of affirmative action. Now, Sotomayor is also the least intellectually capable member of the Supreme Court. So it's interesting that she's so quick to say that she is a product of affirmative action as though that's some kind of seal of approval of this. But there are people in very prominent positions who really want to perpetuate this this fable, this mythology, that they weren't given an advantage over other people who honestly just outperformed them scholastically. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. We either have a meritocracy or we don't. We either have objective standards to try to gauge these things or we don't. We either discriminate on the basis of race or we don't. So you see, I'm very fired up about this. I know a lot of people are going to talk about other things today in conservative media. We'll get into that in a second. My friends, let's talk about the X chair. I'm sitting in an X chair right now. You can see it right behind me. Mine is this kind of light blue color. It is the most amazing, most comfortable chair I've ever owned. Think of how many hours a day, especially for those of you like me who work from an office or work at home, in a home office. Think of how many hours a day you spend in that chair. Isn't it worth it for it to be really, really comfortable? Isn't it worth it to you for it to be the best chair you've just ever sat in? That's what I have. My X chair is amazing. I've gotten X chairs for family members. They love them. Right now, I mean, this is the Mac Daddy most comfortable chair you will ever see in your life. You can get it for $21 a month. That's right. You can finance this. The X chair is the best chair you're ever going to get. Less than a dollar a day allows you to own the chair that I'm sitting in right now. And it just makes everything more comfortable, makes you more productive. There's an X chair for every style and budget and all different kinds of colors, a lot of modifications. I mean, when you go, it almost looks like you're buying a car, all these different add-ons and modifications, but it's all meant to make you as comfortable as possible. Check out all these options and our amazing financing plans at xchairbuck.com. That's the letter xchairbuck.com. No other chair can compare to the X chair. Go to xchairbuck.com now. Pick out the chair you want, set up a way you can finance it, and you're going to be so happy to have this chair in your home every day. It's absolutely phenomenal. So here we have, my friends, the desperate last-ditch efforts of the Democrats to try to make the attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband somehow the fault of the GOP. CNN has a national security contributor, Juliet Kayyem. She's an academic. She honestly knows nothing about anything having to do with actually keeping people safe or secure, America, neighborhoods, you name it. But here she is saying that because Republicans are okay with violence, this is why the Pelosi husband attack happened, and that, you know where she's going, democracy can't survive this way. Play clip one.
And the use of violence essentially as an extension of politics. In other words, if you don't win the election, violence is always an alternative. Democracies can't survive this way. We believe in elections and for elections and in the peaceful transfer of power. That peaceful is the key word there. It's not transfer. And that is what is going on in this country, elevated by, of course, an apparatus often led by the former president, Donald Trump, that elevates the language so that the listener, you don't have to parse what they're saying, the listener, their supporters, believes that violence is an sort of essential, if not justifiable, means.
So a lunatic, nudist, Berkeley, hippie, protester, druggie attacks someone, and it's their entire Republican Party and Donald Trump's fault. I mean, look at the leap that they make, right? It's absurd. These people are ridiculous. I mean, this is just propaganda she's spewing. This is absolutely So what are we all supposed to do? Oh, I guess we can't support the Republican Party because some lunatic attacked Paul Pelosi in his underwear and hit him with a hammer. What does one have to do with the other? It has nothing to do with it. But they're so dishonest and so dishonorable. And that's what the Democrat Party is all about. And they're facing a really embarrassing election. They deserve sheer embarrassment. I mean, we should be canoeing in rivers of lib tears on election night and thereafter. And I'm going to tell you this. They deserve that. Look at the arguments they're making. They know they can't make the economy better. They know that Joe Biden's an imbecile. They know that everything they promised that was going to happen hasn't happened. They're total failures. So what do they fall back on? Democrats, a threat to our democracy. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But they're pathetic in this final stage. There's nothing else to say about them because, well, a lot you can say about them, but I think you sum it up by saying they're pathetic because ultimately, look at what's going on in the country. Look at who's been in charge, the decisions they've made, and how things are feeling right now. Country could be doing a lot better, but we put a third-tier hack in the Oval Office because the Democrats said he was going to be great and it's going to be restoration of normalcy and all this other stuff. All lies. But lying is what they do. Lying is what they do best, and we all know that. So it's entirely unsurprising. And here's Biden himself, by the way. He said that you can't just condemn the attack on Paul Pelosi. You have to also condemn election deniers with it. You know, just wrap it all together for political purposes. Play four.
It's one thing to condemn the violence, but you can't condemn the violence unless you condemn those people who continue to argue the election was not real, that it's being stolen, that all the malarkey that's being put out there to undermine democracy. You can't just apologize and say the violence. It affects people's mentality. It affects how people think, particularly people who are not maybe as stable as other people. So the talk has to stop. That's the problem. You can't just say, I feel badly about the violence, and we condemn it. Condemn what produces the violence. And this talk produces the violence.
Joe Biden is the idiot king of malarkey. I just want to be clear about that. I mean, this is the guy who spews more malarkey than almost anybody else in politics these days. Certainly at his level, he's a president. It's shameful. But you know what? The good news is, in their desperation, the Democrats, it's all so obvious, so pathetic. They're showing us. They know, that red wave is coming. And it is going to be absolutely wonderful. It'll be a cleansing of the American soul when these Democrats realize, oh my gosh, a majority of the American people still realize what a bunch of morons we are. It'll be a great thing. Thanks for rolling with me today. Have a great Halloween out there. Go trick or treat or party or whatever it is you do on Halloween. I wish I could say I have fun Halloween plans, but I'm not really a Halloween guy. See you tomorrow. Shields high.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
people say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear, because it's like, I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.